Viking Round Ball Podcast, a weekly look at Vinton County round ball action, Southeastern Ohio high school hoops, and any other topic that might be on our mind.
Yeah, this could get ugly.
The Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by Rabies Homes and Rabies Auto Group, located 8 miles west of MacArthur, the Knox Insurance Agency. Quality service since 1885. At Knox Insurance, insurance is our product, service is our business. Vinton County National Bank, your community bank and proud supporter of Viking basketball. DBK Media Services. Unlock your company or group's potential. Visit dbkmediaservices.com. MacArthur Super Value. Stop in today and find out how you can get $50 in free merchandise just for shopping with us. And now, broadcasting from a padded room.
No, really.
On the World Wide Web, here's your host, Carl Knox, and the head coach of the Vikings.
You know, and everything.
Matt Coles.
Well, happy holidays to you and yours, and welcome to episode number 4 of the Viking Round Ball Podcast alongside Vinton County Varsity Boys Basketball Head Coach Matt Combs. Carl Knox, how are we today, Coach?
All right. How you been, Carl?
Good. Are you in that Christmas spirit yet?
Oh, yeah. Did a little shopping today. I always try to get it done early. About 5 days before Christmas.
That is early. I haven't even. I bought my wife one gift.
You know, I don't know how people did Christmas shop before you could do it online.
Oh, isn't that
beautiful? You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing that saves the day. Now, I don't know how people did it when they actually had to go out and get in their car every single time and go to a store. But thank goodness for the internet.
Well, yeah, but the thing about the internet is now you're kind of after the point. You can't order today.
That's what I mean. Now on anything that you've waited to this point on, you got to go out. So we went out and did a couple last-minute things today.
Fam went out. You, the wife?
Everybody. Well, Brevin was in preschool.
Big guys in
Brogan
preschool
and,
now.
And Amy and I went out today. Yeah, he's in preschool. He'd rather spend the day in preschool than with us. I go to pick him up, and he's mad. He wants to spend time with his friends. So.
Would you be a meanie butt again?
Well, I'm sure to him I am, but everybody else knows that I'm a nice, pleasant person. But
meanie butt. He has not seen anything yet at the age of 4. It'll only go downhill. Well, we'll get into holiday stuff. Hey, got a lot of stuff going on tonight. We got a great guest on our podcast this week. This is kind of an off the beaten path kind of guest. You get your Howard Stern mic there.
Right? I got it. Got it ready.
Yeah. We've done people from different conferences, all this. This week's guest will be interesting. Jeff Miller, who was formerly your assistant varsity coach for 3 years, and then I know he did a stint way back when. I think your first year.
Yeah, right? I think 4 years, and then 5 if you count the one back at the beginning when I first came here. He was with me for a year right before he had his first daughter. They had their first daughter, and he had to get out of it for a while. And then Jeff was also my assistant at Portsmouth East for a year.
That was your very first year of varsity?
That was my first year of coaching, so as a head coach. So, yeah, we coached together a long time.
And you guys played high school hoops together,
right?
Were childhood friends.
Yeah, we played high school basketball and kind of grew up together. So, yeah, he's moved on and taken the head coaching job over at Uniota for the girls. And he's got 2 daughters, both young. One of them, I think, 4th grade or so. But
one of them's 4 months.
Yeah, one of them really young. But I mean, I think he's got an older daughter. Like I said, it's like in the 4th grade, involved in girls athletics. And I know when that job came open, he was interested in it. So he's doing a good job. I mean, they've got a lot of talent there, and he runs a good program. So, yeah, it'll be fun to talk to him here in a little bit.
I think we're going to find out tonight the mastermind behind Coach Combs' success. None other than Jeff Miller. This will be fun.
Hey, I don't have to be the brains of the organization. You know what I mean? I've always said I don't care how it gets done as long as it gets done. I'm more than happy to let other people do the heavy lifting.
I'm going to let that one go. If you have an email question or any question for Coach Combs over the next week, between now and our next podcast, which will be coming up December the 26th, feel free to email us at VikingRealmBallPodcast@yahoo.com, or you can leave us a voicemail message at the DBK Media Services hotline. That number is 740-569-3254. Got an interesting couple interesting emails. I only got time to select one. I think it'll be something that'll maybe light a little fire underneath.
Well, I'm sure that you know, I'm sure when you get that look in your eye, Carl, you've got something real nice planned for me. So I can't wait.
I had nothing to do with it. I did not orchestrate this at all.
Okay.
Unsolicited email, but a good one at that. We'll get to that later. Hey, let's talk about, let me get in real quick about the week that was for you guys. Quick rundown on stats and also some stuff for the girls' side as they kind of have a good week as far as league play. We'll just talk about that real quick. Last Tuesday, December 13th, Jordan Kidd scored a game-high 27 points, and the Vinton County Vikings rallied for a 68-60 road win over Nelsonville. Ryan Chesser added 17 points, and LB Ramey had 15 for Vinton County. The Vikings trailed 28-27 at halftime, but Kidd, Chesser, and Ramey scored 37 of the team's 41 points in the second half of the win. Austin North led the Buckeyes with 16 points. Casey Cox added 15, and Kyle Moore had 10 for the Buckeyes. The Vikings shot 47%, 22 of 46 from the field, including a 79%, 19 of 24 from the free throw line. In the second half, the Vikings go perfect, 17 of 17 from the charity stripe. On Friday, December 16th, the Vikings improved to 3-1 overall, 3-0 in the TVC Ohio League play, with a 58-51 win over the Wellston Rockets in a game that Vinton County maintained the lead from bell to bell. Wellston was down by its largest deficit of the game by 14 points entering the fourth quarter, but they battled back as far as a 49-46 deficit with 2 minutes 25 seconds remaining, but the Vikings held on down the stretch for the big TVC Ohio win. Vinton County led by Ryan Chesser with 15 points. Jordan Kidd had 12. Impressive game for Bryce Owens as he had 14 points, and LB Ramey had 12 for the maroon and white. For Wellston, Nigel Quartz paced the Rockets with 20 points. Justice Ousley and Blake Warrington both had 12 for the blue and gold as they fall to 1-2 on the year. Wellston goes 20 of 57 from the field for 35%. Vinton County shoots 17 of 56 for 30% from the field. And from the line, the Rockets are 5 of 11 for 46%. Vinton County, 19 of 30 for 63%. The smaller Vikings outboard the Rockets 41 to 37 on the glass. And in the turnover department, Wellston gives it away 18 times to Vinton County 16. In Lady Viking action over the past week, Coach Dixon and the girls improved to 3-0 in the TVC, 3-4 overall, as they pick up a big league win over Wellston last Thursday night. The final there, 67-53. Vinton County paced by Zan Hale. She has 18 points and 15 boards. Megan Dixon has 13, and John Ramey adds 9. Wellston was led by Jordan Davis with 19 points. Then this past Saturday, the Lady Vikes lose to Portsmouth West 63-49 as part of the Lady Rocket Classic at the Wellston Middle School. Next up for the Lady Vikes, they're on the road at Southeastern Wednesday, December 21st, and then they do not play until January 4th when they will host the Paint Valley Lady Bearcats. Other TVC boys action coming up this week on December 20th, Vinton County hosting River Valley in a triple header. Freshman game starts at 5 o'clock at Vinton County High School, and Wellston is on the road at Rock Hill Tuesday, December 20th. On Wednesday, December the 21st, Alexander will be hosting the Fairland Dragons, and on a game on the Friday the 23rd, those games include Vinton County on the road at Paint Valley and Nelsonville hosting the Federal Hockey Lancers. And there's a look at Viking boys and girls roundball action and a preview of the week ahead for TVC Ohio basketball. Well, pretty good week for you, Coach, as you guys pick up two TVC Ohio wins, one on the road up at Nelsonville, and then a big win last Friday night against Wellston. You know, we've said it since the first episode that this year is going to be a lot of parity in the TVC Ohio, and despite you guys being off to a 3-0 conference record, you know, You kind of started out a little flat up at Nelsonville, and then a big win against an improving Wellston team. Let's go back to that Nelsonville game. You know, your comments, I've talked to you in the past week, and you guys really didn't get off to the start that you wanted last Tuesday night up at Nelsonville.
Well, no, obviously not. When they, I think it was 8-0, maybe right out of the gate. And, you know, I don't know exactly why. I mean, I didn't think that we came out flat necessarily. But you got to give credit to Nelsonville. They, you know, I thought Nelsonville played really well Tuesday. And we had to play, we had to do some really good things to beat them. I mean, I thought they played a good game. They were up on us, I think, what, one at halftime maybe?
Yeah.
They were up on us, I think, as much as 5 in the second half at one point. And then we really just, you know, within our offense was able to get some drives to the basket, get to the free throw line some. And then that's, you know, you look at that game, that's what really saved the day for us was the free throw shooting. I think we were something like, I know we were 100% in the, I believe in the second half.
17 of 17.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you don't get that every day. Obviously, if you had that every day as a coach, you wouldn't worry as much. But you know, you're not going to shoot it that good all the time. But for that particular game, that was the difference. You know, I definitely don't think, I you know, give their kids credit. They didn't lose the game. I just thought our kids stepped up and did some things to win the game. But that was a very competitive basketball game. It was a good crowd over there. They had a good support that night over at Nelsonville. And those are road games in the TVC. Those are the kind you have to find a way to grind out, so to speak, and get. So we're very happy to have that one under our belt.
Jordan Kidd really puts on a nice performance, gives you 27 points. Ryan Chesser adds 17, and LB Ramey has 15 for Vinton Kenney. I think kind of an interesting stat in addition to that, 17 of 17. I mean, I guess as a coach, anytime you're 80% or better from the stripe, you're happy. You know, but 100%, 17 of 17. But the other thing that kind of catches my eye is Jordan Kidd, Ryan Chesser, LB Ramey score 37 of the second half, 41 points. And I guess I'm starting to see maybe a little bit of maturity and growth in those three guys, you know, really stepping up and taking a leadership role for you. And I know early in the season, you know, there was times that you're kind of telling these kids, you know, hey, you got to start being a little bit more mature in your play. And it sounds like they did the job for you.
Well, they've come along, but it's early, you know, they've still got a lot of growing up to do. But I know Ryan, in Ryan's case, he's had, you know, some varsity time under his belt. So you expect him to provide a little bit of that, I guess, maturity or that been there, done that attitude where he doesn't get, you know, shook up or surprised in those situations. But with Jordan and LB, there's a little less experience there. And so it's nice to see those kids coming along and growing into their role along with, you know, our other guys. But yeah, those three, obviously we know those three guys have to score for us. When they score like that, it definitely makes our job easier. Because, you know, on a given night, Bryce Owens or Matt Smallwood or somebody like that's going to pitch in some stuff too, you know. But in terms of every night scoring, we're really dependent a lot on those three guys, I think.
Well, big win for Vinton County is with that you go 2-0 in the TVC, Ohio, and 2-1 overall. Then this past Friday night, just a typical Wellston Vinton County game. Yeah. And what a great crowd. What a great atmosphere. A lot
the atmosphere
people,
was unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, for this early in the season, and there was just a doubleheader. I get there 15 minutes before the JV game, and the parking lot is just plumb full. It was a great atmosphere. Wellston always brings tons of people up here, and likewise when we go down there, and you knew it was going to be a good game. And it was kind of one of those things, you know, in the first half, you guys get out to a really, really strong start. Talk about that first half. It had to be, I'm assuming, exactly what you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, the first half we played just really well. I mean, and here's the thing, we did not play spotless offensive basketball. We still made some mistakes offensively, I thought, that half, but for the most part, you know, we shot the ball well. They mixed their defenses. Give Coach Graham credit, he mixed his defenses up, threw some different looks at us. I thought our kids shot the ball well enough to force their hand a little bit and make them play a little bit more just straight man-to-man because of the way we were shooting it. And at times we took advantage of that, at times we didn't. But I thought defensively, I thought we played super in that first half. I mean, we know that they're big with Courts and Ousley, and we knew that was going to be a challenge. And then, of course, they've got some guards there that can hurt you, especially Warrington, in terms of shooting the ball. I thought in the first half, everything went as planned. I don't think we let Warrington get a shot. Ousley had some points, but he worked really hard. Some points, but he worked really hard for him. And I, you know, to hold that team to 17 points in the first half was great. And then third quarter, still pretty solid. We end up winning the quarter, but the fourth quarter was where they really came to life, and you got to give them credit.
Question, it might be a stupid one, but you said the first half was good, but it wasn't perfect. The one thing I noticed, especially in the second, maybe midway through the second quarter, you guys defensively were just playing very well, really forcing Wellston into some bad shots. And I kind of noticed, it seems like, because you guys started out with a pretty fast tempo and you got a nice lead. And I don't know, I think the score is like maybe 18 or 19 to 6. I mean, it had a nice gap there. And I kind of noticed, and my question is based on this. I heard you getting interviewed by Bob Grillo and Jeff Thacker.
Right.
And said, you know, I want this team to play up speed, and we're not going to back down and hold the ball. But I noticed in the second quarter there were several trips down the floor, especially in transition, where it just seemed like we took a rush shot or not a good shot. Did you feel, I mean, were you a little frustrated? And
yeah, I mean, actually what I meant by that comment was just, you know, we're just not going to be the type of team to necessarily do everything by the book in terms of, you know, there's 1 minute left in the quarter, we're definitely holding for a last shot, or there's 3 minutes left in the game, we're up eight, we're stalling the ball. I don't know that that's us. I don't know that that's our personality. I don't know that that fits our team real well. So what I'm saying there is, you know, if the situation presents itself, we're still going to be in attack mode, you know.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, you've got to temper that with time and score a little bit. I mean, there was some, and that's what I was talking about. I thought offensively there in the first half, we got in a hurry some. You know, there's a difference between attack mode and just flat being in a hurry. And a lot of times we just threw one pass, took a quick shot. That's not what we're looking for. I mean, necessarily, you know, we're looking for maybe a couple passes, something to the basket. When we're at our best, we're getting things to the basket, not just living and dying at the 3-point line. You know, if you remember, we did that against Huntington the first game of the year. It didn't work out real well. Ever since then, we've been getting more balance inside, outside balance, and we just haven't been depending on the three. So sometimes we get in a hurry and we kind of relapse into our old habits, and hopefully we can just continue to get better. But yeah, I mean, that you're right. I mean, I think had we been a little sharper offensively in that first half, we may have even went into halftime with a little bit bigger lead than 13, because our defense was that good in that first half. But you know, give Wellston credit. I mean, they hung in there the whole game. They had chances to fold, to be honest with you, because we had a 13-point lead at the half, and I think we were up 14 at the end of the third. So, you know, for them to battle back in that fourth quarter, they did a nice job. I mean, we did a few things to help them in terms of, again, time and score and rushing shots, things like that. But most of the credit goes to them in that fourth quarter. I mean, Warrington hit some awfully tough shots. I think we gave him one open one, and that got him going. You know, and then he hit a couple with hands in his face. And Courts is just a really good player.
I mean, he's so good inside the paint.
He's so patient. He gets the ball. He takes his time. He doesn't get in a hurry. He's good footwork in terms of up and under moves, things like that. He's just a really good player. I mean, you know, you look at it, I thought we did a great job on him. We really made him work, and I think he still got 20. So he's a good player, and you know, but give our kids credit, because at the end of the day, we found a way to get it.
Yeah, there was a point in time with maybe 2-3 minutes left to go in the game, and I mean, you could just feel it in the gymnasium, the momentum, and it's like, oh gosh, this is just like a bad dream. And you know, like you said, give your guys credit. They withstood the challenge, and they pulled off a win. Obviously, you know, having Ousley in foul trouble at halftime, and I think, I don't know what Courts had, but you know, they're a big team, and you got them in foul trouble, and I think Coach Graham had to kind of put the brakes on them in the locker room at the half and say, guys, you got to watch your foul, you got to be, you know. And I saw almost, I don't want to take anything away from you know, people like Bryce Owings, that I don't know what his height is, he plays like he's 6'8", but you know, you could see Wellston almost conceding some boards. But you know, give Coach Graham credit. He did what he needed to do to get his team to a point that they had an opportunity. They made a run. But at the end of the day, you guys held on for the win. And I think that this is a team, not only, you know, they have some experience in terms of players, but as the season evolves, and those guys are on the road all the time now, you know, the last game of the season, the very last game, I think February 18th, something like that, you got to go down there.
Yeah.
That game, you know, it might be worth something come then, but I guarantee you're going to see a Wellston team that's going to be ready to roll.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be more improved than, you know, what we saw them last
week.
Yeah,
well, I mean, definitely. And you know, that's one of those games where, like you said, you got that feeling in your stomach there late in the game. I mean, the worst thing in the world is just to completely control a game for three quarters,
right?
And then, you know, I mean, let it slip away, and you got that feeling a little bit. That's why I think it's going to be a good growing experience for our kids, because that there was a lot of pressure there with about 2.5 minutes left, and our kids had to stand up to that and find a way to finish it. So hopefully the bright spot about it is, although as coaches would like that comfortable win, the bright spot is when you win a game like that, it's you learn a lot. You know, hopefully you're, you know, because you're going to get caught in that situation again sometime. Obviously, you're going to be in a close game, or you're, and hopefully your kids can draw from that.
It's the ebbs and flows of basketball, and you know you're going to have the good points and the good times and the bad times. It's just a matter of learning and growing and getting through those bad times. Up next, let's talk to Jeff Miller. We'll find out what one of your childhood friends, ex-coach, assistant, and how he's made the transition from coaching boys to coaching girls, all coming up next on the Viking Roundball Podcast. Back on the Viking Roundball Hour, our guest this episode, Coach Combs. I know you've been looking forward to this, and I don't think, as long as I've known Coach Jeff Miller, as not only as a coach, as a friend, I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of interviewing him, but it's great to welcome in former assistant varsity coach Jeff Miller, now the varsity head coach of the Unioto Lady Shermans. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. You know, this is kind of a unique interview because most of the people over here in Vinton County, they remember you being on the bench for what? How many years did you work underneath Coach Combs?
Actually, I was there his very first year. I don't know. You can help me out, Matt.
Yeah,
which year that was.
He came. That was back in. Oh, geez. That was. I think. 01 graduating class of 01. I think.
Yeah. And first year of the high school.
And then he came back right around 08, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there ever since. He was here when we for our district championship team there with Dustin Guthrie and those kids, and up until last year. So he probably 5 years or so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was five. I think it was a one, and then four the second time. So
Now just to take a step back, obviously we'll get into the coaching aspects of it here later in the interview, but what a lot of people probably don't remember or don't know is you and Matt Combs have been, well, I'll just throw this right out of the gun right from the get-go. How would you consider your relationship with Coach Combs? Has it been more of a friend, like a brother, strictly professional, or was he just a geek you felt sorry for?
I'd say probably a little bit of all those, Carl, to tell you the truth.
Okay, I'd be answer D, all the above.
Yeah, D, all the above.
But seriously, how long have you and Matt known each other?
We competed against each other when he first moved here, probably, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade. We played Little League Baseball against each other, and he can tell you about that later. I'm sure he's got some good stories about that. But but as far as and then he was a grade below me going through school, but you know, we played ball together all through high school and stuff. So.
And you guys both played for Ron Lovely, and you guys both played on that team that went to the state finals. What was that, back 80?
91.
Yeah, 91.
And so, I mean, you guys go back not only on a personal level or a professional level, but also on a personal level. Talk about how your relationship as two coaches has kind of evolved, because I think as people get to know you, kind of a lot of the things that, you know, Coach Combs is more of a high-strung type of coach, and you're kind of laid back. How did that kind of evolve when you guys were working together over here on the Vinton County staff?
You know, to be quite honest, it was really a great relationship as far as coaching goes, because he's a little bit more intense than I am, and I'm a little bit more laid back. But I think it was a really good combination. And you know, the big thing was is that we trusted each other. I mean, the amount of responsibility, I guess, that he gave me was probably unique compared to most programs. You know, he just kind of let me run the offense. Really didn't question a whole lot. I mean, obviously, if it came down to end-of-game situations, he was going to have some input, you know, but the amount of responsibility he allowed me to have was unique, probably compared to most situations. So,
well, you know, Carl, too, you know, Jeff and I started coaching together back when really we were young under Coach Lovely, coaching like freshmen and JV and stuff like that, and we played for a coach who gave us a lot of responsibility when we played, and when we started coaching under Coach Lovely, he turned a lot over to us too. So that was just kind of the way we were raised, so to speak, in coaching, you know, that you trust your assistants, you give them a lot of responsibility, let them do their thing. And that was what worked well for Jeff and I. Of course, when you grow up together and you've had a lot of time with each other, like he said, you trust each other a little bit, but yeah, we definitely evolved that way. And then now Jeff, with you coaching girls, I know you and I have talked about it a little bit, you know, just in general conversation, but obviously making a transition. You've coached a lot of basketball over the years, but this is kind of your first time with the girls. How's that transition been?
I mean, you know, I'm having a great time. It's extremely enjoyable. But there are a lot of things that are different, you know, about coaching girls compared to coaching boys. So
name some without getting yourself in trouble.
So, like as far as like preparation, the detail that you go into, I think with boys is you go into a lot more detail, whereas on girls you just are trying to kind of take care of the basics and be sharp on the little things. You know, I mean the fundamentals I think you put more emphasis on than you do on game planning and the details that you're going to see from the other team. So. Things aren't quite as complex, and just overall, I don't think you go into as much detail with girls as you do boys, or I haven't so far. So that's probably the main thing that I've noticed so far is the amount of detail that I go into is not nearly as much for boys as I go into girls.
But you know, and some of my buddies that I've talked to in the past that have coached girls, and maybe you can say this is true or not. That's you know, people might not realize this, but girls are tough. I mean, girls in some ways are tougher than guys. I mean, they'll play through things. They can. I mean, have you seen a little bit of that?
Yeah. And the thing with girls too is they're going to do exactly what you tell them to do. I mean, which you know sometimes is a good thing and sometimes a bad thing. I mean, there are situations where girls could be running the floor. She's wide open, but you told her she's going to set a screen out here on the wing. Well, she's going to go set that screen on the wing, you know, regardless of if she's got, you know, an area where she can cut to for a layup, and she's going to look at you and say, well, coach, you told me a screen out here on the wing. So they're going to do exactly what you tell them to do, where boys sometimes have a little bit more of the freelance, you know, attitude where you kind of put them in situations and let them do what they need to do, where girls are going to do exactly what you ask them to do.
I understand that the bus rides with girls are a lot more enjoyable than bus rides with boys. Is that true?
Oh, Paul, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, I've been tempted to take recording. I mean, I've got some girls who can just blare out the tunes, buddy, on the way home.
Oh, so it's you guys do a lot of singing on the girls' bus.
Well, you don't have to say we. They do a lot of singing. And I tend to put on my headset to kind of drown it out. So.
Well, you're off to I think right now you're 4-0 in the SVC, 5-1 overall. Is that right?
3-0 SVC, 5-1 overall. Yeah.
Okay, well I'm getting that from the SVCSportsZone.com. So obviously Shane Combs, the mastermind of that website, must have you ahead of that. But talk a little bit quickly about the Unioto Lady Shermans this year, and I know you've had some injury problems from soccer. How's the team coming together?
Yeah, we did. We faced some adversity early with the injury bug. I had two girls that blew out ACLs during soccer, and then on our opening night against Vinton County, I had a freshman in the varsity game go down with a blown tore ACL. So I've got one that's back. I've got one coming back at the beginning of the new year, and then the other one that tore it during the Vinton County game, she's out for the season. So the injury bug has bitten us pretty hard, but you know, we're battling through and we're looking kind of to get Aaron Bain will be the senior that's coming back in January, and that'll be a nice addition. So we're hoping once we get her back, we'll be close to full go. I'm like I said, Taylor Overly, my freshman's out for the year, but I'll have two of the three ACLs will be back for me in January. So.
I guess two's better than none. But, before we get you out of here, just a couple quick points. Do you ever find yourself, and I know you were both you and Coach have newly born children. You have, was it Brindley that was born back in August?
Yeah, Brindley. Yeah.
Along with, you got, what's Brody? Is he two now?
Brody's 19 months.
19 months.
He's beating on the two-year-old door right now.
So you've taken your first head coaching job at Unioto High School, where you happen to be a teacher. Three children, Alexis 10, Brody 19 months, and Brindley. And then the coaching job. In addition to that, you're getting finishing up your master's degree, so you're obviously very busy. Do you ever find yourself really missing Coach Combs and, you know, being on the bench with his calm demeanor and all of that?
Oh, yeah. Calm demeanor, you know. I do miss the conversations in the Vinton County coach's office. We
they're always very wholesome.
yeah, we got in some really, you know, nice wholesome conversations in there that I miss.
Well, I'm gonna get you out of here on one last question. You having known Matt since he was a little kid, and you guys growing up together, playing high school ball, and then coaching together, we won't even get into the rants that you've seen him produce on the golf course, but you, more than anybody, maybe with the exception of Matt's wife or his parents, how do you calm down a Coach Combs at the height of his rage? What's the best way to deal with that?
I don't know if I've ever found an answer to that. I think if I had to give advice to how you would do that, I'd say that you just need to encourage him to walk into a closet and lock the door, and then, you know, keep him in there for about 5 minutes on his own. But you know, I never really found the key to keeping him calm at the height. I usually just kind of, we'd argue for a while, and then I'd realize I wasn't going to win the argument, so I'd walk away, and 5 minutes later, you know, we'd be back on the same page. But
that's a good point. First thing to understand about Coach Combs is you're never going to win.
No, you're not going to win. You just got to give the man his space. Give him his space when he needs it.
I hear you.
Well, I tell you what, we know you got to get into practice. Jeff, we appreciate your time and, you know, coming and joining us, and wish you continued success over there at Union, okay?
Hey, I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Jeff.
All right,
see you.
Thanks.
Reverse cowboy. Do you want to get into that?
No.
I'm not rolling tape.
That's all right.
No, seriously, go ahead.
No, it's good.
No, this isn't. I would never put this out on the podcast. Reverse cowboy. What is it?
Yeah, I bet you would. I don't trust that you're not rolling tape right
now. No, I'm not. Seriously, you can come over and look.
Let's just go to the next segment.
Just go to the next segment?
Yeah.
It's a real professional act here, isn't it, Coach? We do have a trivia question. We got an email question for you. Before we get to that and talk about the games this week, let's, you know, Coach Miller, just had him on, guest. I mean, you guys are going back a long, long way.
Yeah, Jeff and I, you know, we've been friends for a long time. Like you said, we coached together. I'm happy for Jeff. You know, we obviously hate to lose a guy like that. He's very instrumental in the success we've had here. But you know, happy for him with the opportunity to go back and coach the girls there close to home and where he teaches. And he's got a great program there. I'm telling you, there's a lot of talent in that program, and there's a lot of talent for a long time to come. I mean, they've got a good youth program there all the way up through. He's going to have a lot of girls to work with. And I think Jeff has the right I've always said Jeff's got a great temperament, I think, for coaching girls. He's patient enough to do it. But at the same time, all the people that I've ever known that have played girls basketball who were pretty good players, who played on pretty good teams, they all say the same thing after they get older. They say, you know, our coach was good because, you know, he or she, you know, wasn't afraid to get honest when we needed it, you know. And I think sometimes with girls, you'll get certain coaches that won't ever yell at them or won't ever, you know, girls are tougher than what people give credit for. Jeff's the type of guy, he's patient, but at the same time, I guarantee you there's a line there that don't cross it, or he's going to get on you pretty hard about it. And I know that he runs a good program there, and he's got those girls off to a good start. And I think I think he's going to have a great season. But congratulations to him for that. And obviously, like I said, we miss him here, but we're fortunate to be able to replace him with a guy like NJ Kite that has come to us and brought a lot to the table too. So I've been lucky here at Vinton County to, whenever in the rare occasion I do lose a coach, because I haven't had that a lot. I've had a lot of the same coaches,
right?
That I've been able to find somebody that's right there ready to go. So, best of luck to Jeff.
Yeah, and it's been a natural fit for him, obviously, being a Unioto graduate, him and his wife, right. Laura, living right in that district. It's been a good fit for him. And like you said, I think, and I'm not putting down girls. I have a 9-year-old who's now playing peewee ball. And you know, that, not saying anything, the boys are better than girls. They're just different. And I think that you would probably be the first to admit that if you took over a high school girls team, you know, with your style, not right. that there's right or wrong,
right.
it would take a lot of change on your behalf to be effective in that role. And I think you make a good point. Jeff will do a real good job of that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, before we get to this email question, You guys are kind of got a home date. We're taping this or canning this December 19th. Tomorrow on the 20th, home date. Is that a triple header with River Valley?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Triple header starting at 5 with River Valley. And they normally don't have a freshman team, but this year they do. So we're happy for that. Get our freshman another game.
I talked to Coach Sowers last week, your freshman coach, and I think he's had two games. One was the foundation game. So they're.
But now they are, but luckily we have put together a full schedule for him. We've gotten some games. So he's going to have a full schedule. Late. It's just going to be coming later in the year because right now it seems like he's playing a game, waiting a while, playing a game. So we're glad he gets one tomorrow night, and then of course Friday. Friday we play not a triple header because Paint Valley doesn't have a freshman team, but we go over to Paint Valley,
and that starts the long 7-game road trip. And you guys won't be back until what, January the 20th,
something like that at home. Yeah, it'll be a while.
Well, let's talk a little bit about River Valley. Triple header tomorrow night starts at what, 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock. Yeah,
5 o'clock. River Valley's varsity out of the OVC. I got them at a 1-4 overall record now, 0-2 in the TV and the OVC. They've lost in overtime to Southern Racine. They had a loss against Jackson. Their lone win was beating Meigs. They lost by 13 to Rock Hill, and then they also lost just this past weekend to Fairland by a score of 59-48. Have you scouted them?
They've played a decent schedule. I mean, when you just mentioned a couple teams there in Fairland, I think's undefeated, and then Jackson's got a nice ball club. So, they haven't played a bad schedule. So their record maybe is a little bit, not a great indicator maybe right now at this point in the year. They're a team that they're well coached. I think Coach Hill does a great job down there at River Valley. And they've got some weapons. And it's one of those teams that's a little bit scary because you got to make sure on a given night, if they get hot, they've got some shooters and they've got a solid post kid. Given night they get hot, they could jump up and bite somebody. So we've got to really be at our best. And like I told our kids, we've got to bounce back after a big win on Friday. And like we talked about earlier in the show, and with a great environment that we had Friday night, we've got to bounce back now on a Tuesday night against a non-league opponent and have that same intensity. So hopefully we will.
Well, I remember last year we went down to their place and you guys got out of there with a 46-41 win. That was coming off the heels of that kind of, I'd call it a shocker last year when you went down and you lost on the road to Meigs.
Right.
And then, I think you go down to River Valley and everyone's thinking, River Valley's down. And they gave you guys a dogfight last year.
Oh, yeah, it was a good game. Well, and last year they had a pretty solid team. I know they graduated a couple kids from that team. Like they had the Peck kid who was a real nice player and some other guys. But, yeah, we went down there and it was a tough game. I think maybe we were down at halftime, played a real good second half, came back and squeaked out a win. But, our intensity level will be enough tomorrow night to get us off to a good start and help us get on our way. But it's going to be a challenge because, like I said, Coach Hill does a good job with them, and those kids are going to come here ready to play.
Well, moving on to Friday the 23rd, you guys, like we said, start out a 7-game road trip as you head over to Bainbridge to play the Paint Valley Bearcats. 1-3 in the SVC so far this year, 1-4 overall. They've got losses to North Adams. Lost by 17 to the Huntington Huntsmen, which you guys have had the dubious distinction of losing to as well. They beat Edina by 4, 51-47, and then they had a big loss where they got throttled by Uniota, the final now in 64-35. What do you know about the Bearcats?
Well, they're in a similar boat to what we are in terms they graduated quite a bit last year. They had a pretty nice JV team. They returned a few kids, but they have one player in Harrison Herman that's was one of the league's leading scorers coming into this past weekend. And I mean, so they've got some guys too, and then we've got to go on the road over there and play. So, you got to expect them to play well at home. So it'll be a challenge. They're a young team kind of searching for an identity right now. But at the same time, they've got some players. So, hopefully we can go over there Friday and really have good road focus and everything. Because every time you go on the road, we tell our kids, just like when we talked about Nelsonville earlier, whenever you go on the road, you're going to get the other team's best shot. So we've got to be ready.
Well, I tell you what, do have a trivia question. We had a bunch of trivia questions, but this one I think I've got to read.
Hit me.
You sure?
Not literally, but give me the question.
No, I can't. This question comes from one of our former guests earlier in the year, Troy Bolin from the TriValleyConference.com.
Okay.
Moderator on Preps. I know you're busy with dirty diapers and doing Christmas decorations and all the artistic things you like to do around the house. But anyhow, he's kind of called you out right now.
All right.
Send an email. I'm just going to read it out loud, just what it is. Question for Coach Combs. I would like Matt to openly admit that my comments made in episode 2 about the TVC Ohio were spot on. And your comment, I think Troy is giving us too much credit, was wrong. In case the comments were lost or not remembered about the TVC Ohio, Troy Bolin had one word associations. Vinton County front runner. Well, Troy, that's two words, so you're already losing credit. He said the Vikings have beaten the top contenders Athens, Wellston, and Nelsonville already. He indicated Athens was young. The freshmen have the Athens in second place, but the youth showed versus the Vikings. Wellston, big. Quartz and Ousley have led Wellston in rebounding and points in every game thus far. Nelsonville, enigma. The Buckeyes are 0-3 at home, 3-0 on the road. Go figure. Alex Scrappy. Somehow the Spartans are 2-3, which included a scrappy performance and a 2-point loss at Wellston. Meg's dangerous. The Marauders are winless, but when they play inspired basketball, especially at home, they become a tough out. So, you want to admit you're wrong?
You know what? Troy reminds me a lot of my assistant coach, NJ Kike. Okay, in this way, I refer to NJ as Mr. Halftime sometimes because he likes to talk a lot of trash before the game's over. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if we're golfing, he likes to talk about how well he played on the front nine. He's up 3 shots on me going to the back. You know, and the game's not over yet. You know, or if we're playing basketball, or he likes to call me at halftime the Dallas Cowboy games and tell me how terrible they look when there's still a half to play.
Mm-hmm.
See, Troy, you know, he's wanting me to give him credit being spot on. We're only 3 games into the league here. You know what I mean? So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. What I said was in that interview was that, you know, we're young and it remains to be seen whether our kids can handle everything, and it still does. We've played 3 games. There's 7 league games left. So, so Mr. Halftime Junior over there, Troy, he'll get on me when he sees me, but it's too early to tell. But no, you know, obviously he knows a lot about our league and you know, he gives a lot of good insight. I tell you, in all honesty, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised how our kids so far have handled everything. But again, we're only 3 games in, you know, and we've played 3
well,
good teams.
You still got to go to the McAfee. You got to play over there.
We got to go to Wellston. Right. And we've got to go everywhere except Nelsonville's the only road game we've gotten out of the way. And, you know, so it still does remain to be seen. I'm happy so far with the way our kids have handled it. I hope here in a couple months that I can get on here and fully admit that he was spot on, because I would love to be in front come the middle of February. But right now it's early. We're off to a good start, but that's all it is. It's just a start right now.
Well, and I think Athens is going to improve. I'm very confident Wellston is going to improve. So it's a long
way. Got to look at Wellston's going to play a bunch of home games eventually at some point,
right?
You know, all in a row, and that's going to give them a chance for momentum. Yeah, and
you know, I was reading the article, the Paul Boggs article, and I'll give credit to Coach Grahamdon at Wellston. He made the comment in one of his actuarial pieces there that he said, you know, I'm learning with the team. It's a young team, and he's the first year coach, so I think they're only going to get better as the season goes along. He did Troy did have a follow up question number 2. He had emailed me a picture which I let you look at. You remember quite the photographer. He's like the paparazzi. He emailed us a photo of you on the bench during the Athens game. And just, I can't put it up, you know, on a podcast, but you were wiping, looked like you might have been crying. And his question was Coach Combs crying in the photo attached? And your first comment when he sent that was you were doing
the TiVo.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. So you were not crying.
No, actually, the gym was hot that night. That was against Athens, you say? That picture came from? Man, it was hot. It doesn't take much to get me, you know, sweating and all. But, I mean, that place, you know, we've had such good crowds against Wellston and Athens that the gym is hot. But
why didn't you talk to the custodial staff or the athletic director and maybe get that to be like a pleasant 65, you know?
Well, I mean, I'll see what I can do. Do you want me to serve drinks with umbrellas on them too to you guys over there in the front? Or I mean,
that'd be nice. I mean, seriously, you know, that would be good. A little catering.
Let me see what I can do.
Can we work on a maroon and white room with, you know, a buffet?
I mean, it wasn't good enough for Bob Grill and Jeff Thacker last week. We didn't cater to them, but, you know, I guess we can see what we can do.
Okay. I'll tell you what, here in the next segment, time for Christmas gifts. We'll get into that. Viking Rumble Hour continues here in just a bit. Coach, we talked about your shopping escapade today with the wife.
Yeah.
The new Rogan Moss Combs. Actually, I was trying to track you down. Man, I tell you what, during the basketball season, you're a very accessible guy. Hard to track down Coach Combs.
I tell you, I never realized. I've taken some time off work, you know, to help at home with the new one. I never realized how busy being at home is. You know, until these last couple weeks, you know.
I don't know.
People say they take a day off. Shoot, I tell you what, I need a day on. I need to go back.
I did see a picture on Facebook about a week or two ago, and I really wanted to put something on there, but I didn't want to get in trouble. The picture of the Combs household.
You like that? Almost Griswold-like.
That's the first thing I thought about was Clark Griswold not being able to get the lights to work. And you know, and then the movie where he throws a tantrum.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that is so...
That didn't happen to me. They all came on. You know, of course, our electric bill will be a couple $100 more a month. But, you know.
Well, for people that don't know, and I mean, if you're still listening at this junction of the podcast, you're either an extreme Vinton County Viking basketball and Matt Combs fan, or you need to get a life, one of the two. But I saw, and people that don't know, you really enjoy doing home decorating, wallpapering, paintings. You're into that stuff.
There's certain parts of it. I hate the paint, and I hate the wall. I've never wallpapered in my life, so I know that. I enjoy working outside in the summertime. I like mowing. I like keeping the outside of the house. All that other stuff I could do without, but there's just certain parts of it I don't like. And the wintertime's hard because then I don't, you know, so I guess I pass the time in other ways in the winter.
Okay. Well, we'll get out of here for episode number 4 of the Viking Roundball Podcast. Again, if you have any email questions for Coach Combs, be it about basketball or home decorating, holiday traditions, cooking, baking of cookies.
Recipes, anything like that.
Yeah, now anything to do with food. I could see you having an edge there. You can email us at VikingRealmBallPodcast@yahoo.com, or you can leave a voicemail for the coach at the DBL Media Services hotline, 740-569-3254. Presents, you're all done. No more shopping.
Yeah,
finished.
We're done. We're all done. Got the Santa's, got the kids' lists.
Just out of curiosity, Brevin's what, 4 now?
He's 4. Yeah.
So it's time for motorized battery-operated.
Oh, he's got so much. Yeah, he's got stuff, and he breaks it usually within a day, you know. So.
But I was just thinking, my daughter, when she was about that age, she had a little John Deere tractor with what's a battery-operated. You just hit the gas and goes around. It'd be a perfect gift for Brevin out in the neighborhood cul-de-sac out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I wouldn't be surprised if one of the grandparents doesn't give him something like that, but... I'm trying to guide him more into the sports. So I'm putting up a basketball rim in our basement. I'm putting a real rim on the wall, and then making him a little free throw lane and everything. So we're gonna try to.
You got to watch that pushing your kid to a certain area. Our buddy JJ Hale.
Yes.
His son Blaine, 5 years old.
Moose, as they call him.
Moose. Yes. Moose. I'm referring to your kid as a mammal, but moose is moose. What's at the top of his list? And of course, JJ wanting his son to really excel in athletics. An easy bake oven.
I'll tell you what, I might have to go over there if he's going to make some cookies. I can't blame the kid for that.
We've had an easy bake oven. It wouldn't pay the rent for you.
You can't make that many, huh?
No. It's a racket. You get an easy bake oven and maybe like 3 or 4 loads of tiny little cookies and then you're SOL.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of presents, what'd you get me?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, Carl. I'm going to take you on a golf trip this summer.
Oh, you're not. not to where I think you're going to take.
Yep.
Is it?
Taking you to where the white fountains and the white houses.
White fountains or white buildings?
White buildings with the fountains in front of the white buildings, yeah.
You've been talking to Coach Norm Pearson a little bit too much.
Yeah, too much. No, you never
T-ville?
Know. You
T-ville?
Never, yes.
You're taking T-ville. Me to T-ville.
Yeah, I'm going to take you up there again. Like I have the last few years.
I tell you what, I complain about not getting paid much, but those golf trips with Coach Combs, nothing I enjoy more than a well-pronounced duck hook off the tee, and a 9.5-degree driver whirly-burring down the fairway with that look on your face going,
There's nothing better than to ruin a good day out on the fairway to heaven.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, throwing clubs and you
three putting and having a blow
having
up.
A meltdown.
I tell you what, think about the meltdowns with you on the golf course as opposed to watching you across the gym and the bench is I can say stuff to you on the golf course.
Yeah.
Which only further inflames your little tantrums. I got you something. Actually, you knew it was coming. You probably forgot. I got this.
I didn't forget.
No, I got this done at the Great American Ballpark.
Johnny Bench bobblehead.
He's holding seven balls.
You know,
his hand.
Yeah, that's what I guess he was famous for that. He could do that. I don't know.
How many balls can you get in your hand?
Not seven. Probably. I'll have to try that. I don't have enough baseballs, but I'll have to try.
Merry Christmas, Coach.
I appreciate it.
Enjoy your bobblehead.
I don't. Look.
Take it home. Play.
I don't care what Angie says about you. I like you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And for all you people that have endured this hour or 50 or however minutes this whole podcast goes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Anyone that can put up with this craziness for that long deserves to have a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. So for Coach Combs, Carl Knox, and we'll talk to you again next week for episode number 5. That will be coming on the internet probably Monday, December the 26th. Coach, good luck this week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Carl.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by Ramey's Homes and Ramey's Auto Group, the Knox Insurance Agency, the Vinton County National Bank, DBK Media Services, and MacArthur Super Value. Follow our podcast on Facebook at Vinton County Vikings Basketball.
Or subscribe to this jewel.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
By dropping by dbkmediaservices.com. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast, your destination for Vikings basketball on the World Wide Web.